Second. Okay, Sunny, it's all yours.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny, and I am most definitely an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number into the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while our speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54. Followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Holly to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Sunny. I'm Holly. I'm an alcoholic. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Holly. Today, we will hear a talk on step 12. So please help me give a warm welcome to Shannon B. from Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Come on in, Shannon.
Thank you so much, Sonny. My name's Shannon. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. My girlfriend Nicoletta has spoken at your group a few times, and I think this is a Risa's home group as well. Yeah, I used to be a member of the Atlantic group in Manhattan, so I'm friends with Risa, and I've heard amazing things about your guys' group. And I could tell just by when we first got on and you talked about, you know, AA literature and having experienced, you know, through this process. And I believe that's what I've been tasked with today, is to, you know, really talk about this thing that's hard to put into words at times, this thing that happened to me through this process, this thing called a way. Like, sometimes it's really hard. You know, it's easy in with the mechanics, right? I got a home group, I got a sponsor, and all that's essential. But sometimes, how do you describe the undescribable? How do you describe waking up spiritually? You know, I'm going to do my best here. Carl's on here, my friend Carl. I'm originally from Rochester, New York. Please don't hold that against me. That's a character defect in itself. But no, I had a lot of good times in Rochester. I met Carl many, many years ago. And you know, when I didn't know he was going to be here today, and immediately I started thinking about my sobriety date is February 14th, 2012. I've been in and out of the fellowship since 1988. For all the old heads on here, that's, I think Motley Crue had a hit record back in 1988. That's how long ago we're talking, right? When I first came into, when I first came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'll be honest with you, for decades, I really didn't know what I was up against. I would meet beautiful people like Carl, and people would nudge me in the direction of a home group and do these magical steps and read that magical blue book of ours. And if you do this, your life's going to, you know, rocket into a, you know, into a place that you never thought was possible. And to be totally honest with you, I couldn't hear any of that. I was still under the false illusion that sobriety would be enough. That if I just stayed sober and, you know, watched for the red flags and, you know, just stayed away from those people on that side of the town and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and have gratitude and, you know, have my gratitude list. And, you know, and the truth of the matter is the, what the book calls that is frothy emotional appeal. The thing that I have called alcoholism doesn't respond to that. I mentioned that I've been in and out of AA since 1988, and I suffered horribly for many years in and out of our fellowship. I had 7.5 years sober, and I picked up a drink again. And it's no different than Jim in our big book, right? Poor Jim, he gets a bad rap, right? We always use him as a cross-reference, you know, the whiskey and the milk, right? But you know, right? I mean, right? You know, but because it's so true, though, I can relate to that being sober and going insane sober. We go insane sober, and I didn't know that for a long time. I thought that once I put the drink down and came into the rooms of AA and went to a lot of meetings and fellowshipped a lot and went to your dances and all that stuff is beautiful. Please, I don't want to mince words here. That all that was necessary as well. But if the dying of self doesn't take place and this awakening doesn't take place, I will drink again. I will drink again. So what is an awakening? It says as a result of these steps, I think really Bill sums it up best in his story when he says, simple, but a price had to be paid. And that price is the dying of this narrative that's controlled me since I was a little boy. Because I don't know if there's anybody on this meeting here today. I'm sure there is. I know one of you. That this thing that I have can kill me sober. This thing that I have is fatal and progressive sober if left untreated. And I didn't know that for a long time either. Everything that I'm sharing with you guys is being able from this experience, through the teachings from the big book, through the steps, through the dying of self, it's kind of, I have the fortunate gift to look in the AA rearview mirror and tell you this story. After my 7.5 years, I was living in New York City. I washed up on the shore of Alcoholics Anonymous again. And I don't know if there's anybody on here that's had some time sober and drank again, but it's very difficult to come back. It's very difficult because my ego, that narrative, right? That narrative, it had such a firm grip on who I thought I was in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was the great I am, right? I knew all this. I could quote from this page, and I hung out with heavy hitter, and I did this and I did that. And really looking back in hindsight, I was still the captain of my own ship. I still thought I had a say in whether or not I was going to drink again. I had no, I really did not understand the depths of this thing called powerlessness until the collapse of my life fell before me. I came into the rooms of AA again, 2012. And I met a man who's probably spoken on this meeting, who's actually from Belfast, who lives in New York City now. His name's Adrian. The man did what I'm talking about, what I'm supposed to be speaking on here today. The man, he saved my life. And I put the, and that's putting it lightly. I can't put into words what he did for me. I came into AA again after being in and out of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for many years, not really understanding what I was up against. See, I didn't know what alcoholism was. I was still under the false illusion that I had a drinking problem. Even with all the information and all the knowledge that I had acquired over the years, there was still this false sense of perception, whatever you want to call it, belief system, ideology, whatever you want to call it, that I still had a say in whether or not I was going to drink. If I just do enough of this, if I just do enough of that, if I just don't do this, if I don't, and truth be told, that if you have alcoholism, you're going to drink no matter what. No matter what, whatever the good consequences are, the bad consequences are, I have an illness that does not respond to rationale. It does not respond to intellect. It does not respond to logic. The only thing that has treated my alcoholism is by another man practicing what we call the 12th step. But see, his work that he did with me is only going to be available when I'm ready. He can't instill, he can't. See, that's what, isn't it? Like people on here, I'm sure there's plenty of people on here that sponsor men and women, right? You know, we can take them through this process and read the book to them shoulder to shoulder and show them what a home group is and teach them about service, maybe even take it as far as service below the home group level and traditions, concept, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, and all that stuff is beautiful. But, you know, sometimes the tragic and the sad thing, at least in my own life, is I can't give them the one requirement that's necessary. And that's willingness. And I don't choose to be willing. When I wash up on the shores of Alcoholics Anonymous again, for the 100th time again, burnt my life to the ground again, lost everything again, willingness wasn't, let me explain this. I didn't surrender. I thought that for many years. I thought that my sobriety day, and I said that for probably my first 5-6 years of sobriety, that I surrendered on February 14th. 2012. But the truth is now that I look back in hindsight, because somebody sponsored me, because somebody took me through this process and my soul started to waken up spiritually, I didn't surrender. Because if I surrendered, that means I still have a choice in whether or not I'm going to drink or not. Surrender happened through me. Surrender happened through me. And when surrender happened through me, I became right-sized enough to do the one thing that many people like me will never do, and that's to fall and die into this process. I met him February 13, 2012. I think that's really my sobriety date, but I was so befuddled and so befogged, I just added the extra day just to be safe. And the night I met him, I told him, I'm dying. I'm dying. And I don't know what's killing me, but I'm dying and I need help. Like my friend Bob B says, it was like I was laying next to a lake dying of thirst. I couldn't quite reach it. I couldn't quite connect. And the man gave me, I think, the most important thing that you can give any man or woman. is he gave me his time. He gave me his time. And he didn't tell me how to recover from alcoholism. He showed me. But that surrender had to be in place in order for everything else to come to flight. Right? When you're done, and I mean like, you know, like not like done like the 800 other times I thought I was done and I would still kind of treat Alcoholics Anonymous like Burger King, have it your way. You know what I mean? But like when you're really done, done. And again, I don't say this from some place of look, I mean, you just say yes. You just say yes. And my life has never been the same almost 12 years ago. It's never been the same. Yes, I'll talk a little bit about the mechanics. In my first 6 months of sobriety, I was going to every rehab and every detox. My sponsor got me into H&I immediately. We were coming across the Manhattan Bridge one time from Manhattan into Brooklyn, and he was giving me a ride home from the home group. And he said, "How much time do you got?" And when you're new, you know exactly how much time you got, right? Right down to the second. And I was like, 19 days, 47 minutes, and 18 seconds. Why? You know, because we're proud. We wear that with a bat, and we should. We should. Because one day is a big deal for someone like me. And he said, oh, good. So you got about three. Okay, you're perfect. You're going to start bringing a meeting into a detox in Flushing, Queens every Sunday at 1 o'clock. And I said the very thing that most people that are ready say. Yes. And I was scared. What do you talk about with 3 weeks sober? You know? And he knew that I thought that. He said, "You're probably a little scared about going in there, aren't you?" And I'm like, damn, he's like Buddha. I'm like, yeah, I am. And he said, "The only reason why I know that, because I felt the same way when my sponsor did ask me to do it around the same time." See what I mean? We're like Johnny Appleseed here, right? We continue to plant the seeds that we learn from others. You know, and that's what he did with me. And then I love what the book says. And then we go on and we do that. You know, I mean, if you think about it, like our book from the forward to the first edition through the whole deal is literally about one thing. Making the approach. Seek. I'm a seeker. You know, all the beautiful books and all the teachings and retreats and everything that I've been through over the years. I was thinking about this last night when I was speaking at a meeting. I was sharing, why do we do step one and two and three? Why do we do inventory in a fifth step and sit down with a man and share all of our brokenness and share all those dark crannies of the past and really go to a place that we never thought we were going to go to before? Why do we make amends? Why do we do all that stuff? I mean, sure, it keeps us sober, right? I mean, I think that's a no-brainer by default. But looking back, why do we do that, all that work? It's so that we can do the real work. So that we can give this, so that we can transmit this experience that we've had with others. And that's not just an AA. That's why the 12th step says, in all our affairs. That means traffic in New Jersey. Right? That means at work. After I log off of here, I'm going to log back on. I work from home. I'm going to log back on. My life today, through the steps, through the dying of self, through service, my life has become a meditation. It really has. This is a meditation. This is stillness for me. I get to be here with you guys today. I get to break bread. Carl said it a few minutes ago on the call or on the Zoom when we first got on here. What a gift we have. What a gift we have to be amongst one another and to sit here amongst one another and talk about this gift thing, you know, this gift called sobriety. But it's not just about sobriety. You know what I mean? Like my soul has always been awake. My soul has always been awake. I know Bill uses some wording and, you know, but I, you know, people say we have a soul sickness, and what I've learned through, and I continue to learn through this process, is my soul has never been sick. Never. That's why it's a soul. But I've had a mental narrative that told me it was sick. the old hole in the soul, right? How many people in here have heard the, you know, oh, I got a hole in my soul. I got a hole in my soul. Well, we don't, but it damn sure feels that way, doesn't it? It sure feels that way. Nothing is ever enough. When I'm not connected to the power, when I'm not connected to the source, nothing is ever going to be enough. I had no idea relapse and drinking over and over, in and out of AA. I drank when I didn't want to drink. I would have months and months sober. My life was getting back together. I was starting to reunite with my family on a surface level, right? Because no step work had been done. The cops weren't looking for me anymore. That's always an added bonus. You know what I mean, though? I wasn't checking into psych centers because I was stressed out on a Thursday afternoon. You know, like my life started to kind of shift in a different direction. But again, that thing never happened. And that thing is what I'm trying to articulate and encapsulate and to put into words, this thing that we call an awakening through this process. I can't waken up spiritually if I don't go through this. It's impossible. It's impossible. I've tried it. I'm not telling you just because the book says it and elders of mine have taught me this over the years, but I have tried to almost subconsciously produce this awakening, produce this freedom, produce this sense of ease and comfort that comes from truly being free. And that's a losing battle. I don't have what it takes. I've had beautiful girlfriends. I've had beautiful jobs. I've had everything imaginable that you can think of put in front of me on why I should be happy and why I should be content and why I should be okay. And it doesn't matter. That's all external. Eventually the shine's going to wear off of that. Eventually the shine's even going to wear off Alcoholics Anonymous. Unless I waken up spiritually. Unless I waken up spiritually. Carl was talking about my daughter when we got on the call. You know, she's the coolest thing in the world. Besides my sobriety and my relationship with God, she's the greatest gift I've ever unwrapped. And that would have never been possible if I wouldn't have woken up spiritually. If it wasn't for the kindness of strangers, welcome me into their homes, welcome me into their lives, welcome me into their church basements, welcome me into everywhere, opening up, creating an environment where it felt safe enough for me to come out and play and just be me. You know, I wouldn't have that relationship with my daughter today. I've never met my dad. I don't know if he's alive or dead. I drank at my dad for many years. He abandoned me. He left me. He this and he that. And some of that to an extent is true. But I understand through this process, because of a sponsor, because of having an awakening through this ordeal, I've understood that just like our book says, perhaps maybe he was spiritually sick too. Also, just like me. And me and my dad are square today. Again, I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he's dead. But you know what Alcoholics Anonymous has done? My daughter knows who her daddy is. Oh, and how. She loves me. And I know who she is. And we have a relationship today. See, Alcoholics Anonymous is so much bigger than the Zoom meetings and the church basements and all that's necessary. If it wasn't for church basements, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't know anybody on this call. I wouldn't have gotten sober. But it was this way of life, because something happened to me internally that I didn't even invite. I didn't even ask for this. I was just in so much pain and the drink had stopped working. I was willing to do whatever it took to just kind of maybe eradicate those two things. And I would have been a satisfied customer. So I thought. And what's happening through this learning, unlearning process, whatever you want to call it, is I've acquired love. Love. That's really what this is. This whole journey, all of it, is about love. Love. And I remember coming into AA for years, and I would hear you, I would hear you go, you know, if you don't love yourself, we'll love you until, you know, and I'm like, ugh, like that is the cheesiest, you know, we'll love you until you love yourself. And I used to think, oh my God, you know, ugh. And no truer words have ever been spoken. You love the unlovable. You love me with all my quirks, with all my neuroses, with all my, you know, all my humanness, all my untreated alcoholism, Alcoholics Anonymous. You just love me. You love me unconditionally. You love me. Whether I drank again or not, you continue to love me. And I think really that's what the whole, I don't like to use the word because I don't think there's an objective or a target or a static, but because I went through this process with another man and I, you know, I went through the steps. I got a home group. I got a commitment. I got plugged into Alcoholics Anonymous. What ends up happening again, that's what I was talking about without, in spite of myself, what ends up happening is I build something inside of me that I never thought was going to be possible. And what that was compassion. Compassion for myself too. To honor my humanness, to honor my humanity, to honor my brokenness. And when you get in touch with that, when you start to do work from the soul, you start to see others as souls. And it's not Carl, and it's not John, and it's not Sonny. We're all one. There's no separateness. We're all one. As Ram Dass says, we're all just walking each other home. That's what the 12th step is. We're walking each other home. Home with a capital H. Because of this design for living, I'm uniquely, I don't like to use the word qualified. I'm uniquely experienced to approach another man who was just like me. And I know intuitively how to say what I need to say so that when he's done or she's done, it'll land just the way that it landed on me. See, I don't wake up today and choose whether or not I'm going to be of service to somebody or I'm going to do book. It just becomes a part of my being. So I think that's all I'm going to talk about today. I thank you guys for having me here. It's hard to talk, you know, 30 minutes on something so extraordinary that's happened to me and my family and my daughter, my girlfriend, my life. This way of life is unbelievable. It talks about it in the foreword of the first edition, and it says that, and besides, our way of life has its advantages for all. What a gift. Thank you.